Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Susie Larson Live. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we start every show talking Scripture, and I believe God's Word is living and active, and there's always something to gain from reading and reflecting on His truth. And it's always refreshing and encouraging to hear how God is working in other people's lives. So over the next hour, you're going to hear from a number of past guests on the show as they share about their time studying Scripture and a passage they want to share. First, we'll hear from counselor and spiritual director Pamela Nelson, who invites the Holy Spirit into our time together. I love this.
Yeah, so I'm going to start us out. One of the beautiful gifts that I have is to enter into a really sacred time of being a spiritual director, of attending to what the Spirit is doing in someone's life. What I love about what He's done in my life at this time is He's just given me a capacity, because every time I enter into that sacred space, which I believe this is our sacred space, this hour together, I pre-pray and invite the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, and then the Heavenly Father to attend to us. So I'm going to pray for us, all of us here, that this is a time exactly where you are at, that the Lord wants to minister healing and wholeness to you. So before we go into that verse, let's pray together.
Let's do it.
And so, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for being here, right here, present with every person, no matter where they are at, whether they are listening live, whether they are listening after the case, your Holy Spirit is attending to them. And so, Lord, with whatever has felt like a burden right now, with whatever feels heavy, or Lord, even in the areas this week that they have gotten free, that today is about securing that. It's about learning to live free. It's about attending to the things that you are doing within their spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and be the wonderful counselor. Jesus, we thank you that you are here right in the middle of this conversation as our Prince of Peace. And Heavenly Father, would you have us attend to what is on your heart for these listeners? Lord, there's something special on your heart for them today, and we want to come into agreement and have this time be about where you would lead and where you would guide us. And it's in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. Powerful. Thank you for that. Thank
yes.
you. I already feel at peace and at rest. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Along with that, we often just are breathing deep, and we are feeling all our senses. And so if you are listening to that and already feeling that in your spirit, come into agreement, because he wants to speak to you. And through this psalm, as he's been speaking to me, Psalm 103, 1 through 5, this is where I am agreeing in praise with him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, because he wants to remind me all the time, like this week, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and then crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And as I was meditating on this, what really stuck out to me is the line of crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I think as women, well, I would have to say 100% of the women that I meet with, when I ask them what their view is of themselves, what is the thing that they struggle with, across the board, shame comes up. And when we look at this verse, this is saying that we are crowned with something that our Heavenly Father has given us, how he sees us in the spirit, but oftentimes we don't see ourselves that way, that we are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. And those tender mercies are needed, because we know ourselves. We know that there are things that we get frustrated with. We know that we get tired as moms. We know that we don't do everything perfectly. But in the spirit, when we acknowledge it and receive it for ourselves, we can live into the fact that He is loving us kindly and always giving us tender mercies so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God.
Next, we're going to hear from Dr. James Merritt. When he was on, he just returned from visiting the Holy Land, and he had some reflections on when he visited the Sea of Galilee. Well, you just came home from Israel yesterday, wondering, what has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, you know, I did. I got in last night, so forgive me. I'm still on Israel time a little bit. But, you know, I'm sure you've been there, Susie, and I would say every believer, if they can, should take a trip at least one time. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the highlights for me always is taking that boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. And that story is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And there's a little, Mark records something that the other gospel writers don't. There's two things about that story that Mark really calls my attention to that always blesses me. Number one, when they got into the boat, Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Well, that wasn't just a statement, Susie. That was a promise. Mm-hmm. That was a prediction. The moment that Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side," that boat literally became unsinkable. Every nuclear bomb could have dropped on that boat. It was not going down because Jesus made a promise. Hey, boys, we're going to get to the other side.
Love that.
If I would say, first of all, to a lot of your listeners right now, hey, I get it. The waters get choppy. And maybe you're going through a terrible storm, and then maybe you think your boat is not going to make it. Well, listen, never fear when Jesus is near. And He said, we will make it to the other side. The second thing that Mark records is so interesting. It's a little throwaway line. You wouldn't pay attention to it. He says they got into the boat, and then he says, and there were other boats on the sea. Well, so why did Mark point that out? Why did Mark go to the trouble saying, by the way, we weren't the only boat out here. There were other boats out there. Here's why that was so important. There was one thing, Susie, that made their boat so different and unique, more better, more powerful than all the other boats put together. Jesus was in their boat.
Come on.
And the most important thing you can have and know in your life is that every day when you get out of bed and get into your boat and you start sailing whatever sea is before you, if Jesus is in your boat, it will not sink and you will make it to the other side.
Isn't that so good? I love to hear how the Lord is working in people's lives. Now let's hear what Pastor Jim Cimbala had to say when I asked him what the Lord's been doing in his life.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that while the world goes up and down and things are crazier than ever, it seems, in our country, that if you go by reading the newspapers or social media, your life will get invaded by that kind of turbulence. But there's a peace that God promises that passes all understanding, and it's ours. The Bible tells us, same God who says, don't kill, don't steal, the same God says, don't worry about a single thing, Ephesians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your needs known to God. And then the payoff, if you meet that condition, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds like a sentry walking around an area that they're to patrol and guard. And I'm so happy that we have peace in Jesus, that every day on a daily basis, we can lay everything before Him, little and big, because everything to Him is little. He's God. And and we can secure that peace we need.
Wow. And you said that right away. I thought of the passage. It's an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know why we compartmentalize things and think this one's going to be difficult for Him, but nothing's too difficult for Him. Amen.
Nothing's too hard for God.
Okay. One more before we go to break. Brent Patrick McDougall shares what he's learning about faith in the fire.
It's such a great question, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share today. And I think that, you know, faith needs to be fresh and to consider each day, what's God saying? What's God doing? And I'll tell you, one of the things that I feel like God has been really speaking to me recently is just about having faith through the fire. When you go through challenges, when you face the headwinds of life, then sometimes it's easy to think that God's not with you, or that somehow God is perhaps angry with you. You're going through the trial. you're in a difficult spot. But what I've found is that God is so faithful in the midst of those trials. And God sometimes does the best work that God does when we're in the storm. You know, think of the disciples who were terrified. They were facing those headwinds, and Jesus said, "Don't be afraid," even asking Peter to come out and to get on the boat. Or I think about Moses out in the wilderness and, challenging the people to give to make the tabernacle. And the people rose up and gave generously, and he had to tell them to stop giving. So God was doing great work. And in the middle of all that, God was faithful. That's what God's been teaching me.
We'll be right back.
No longer dead, I am alive. The greatest gift, the highest prize, your love ran red to wash me white. Where would I be if not for
Sign up for the free Bible in a Year reading plan at myfaithradio.com and get everything you need to follow the plan each day and stay on track, including a printed schedule. You can sign up now at myfaithradio.com. Welcome back to Suzy Larson Live. Today we're spending the whole hour hearing what many of my past guests had to share about when I asked them the question, what is God speaking to you these days? First, we're going to hear from my dear friends, Peter and Carolyn Haas. I always appreciate the way they seek and steward their time with God.
I love it. So I'm reading the book of Acts right now, and I love the book of Acts. It's just so good to always read about the missionary journeys and the early church. And so today I was actually reading in Acts chapter 26, and just to give you the quick context, Paul is in prison, and he's not only been in prison, but he was warned that he would be, like, hey, you know, God has warned me, there's going to be hardship and suffering ahead. But what's so crazy is in his prison journey, he gets to declare the gospel before Felix, before Festus, before
Agrippa,
mm-hmm. Exactly. And so what's really fun about the context is he's sharing his story, and he's sharing, and then King Agrippa interrupts him in chapter 26, and he's like, do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? You know what I mean? It was like, hey, what are you doing here? And Paul replied, verse 29, whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains. And I read that this morning, and it brought peace to my heart. I'm navigating several pastoral care situations where people are on a journey of faith, and they're considering Christianity, and they're processing, do I really want to give my life to Jesus? And is Jesus going to be my Lord? Do I want to surrender my sexuality? Do I want to surrender my will, control over my life? And I just felt encouraged, like, that's not even my job. Whether quickly or not, I pray that both you and everyone in this audience might become the same as me. But my job is just to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And throughout those chapters previous, he's like, hey, I'm going to declare, and I have not held back from you in declaring what God wants for you.
You know, amen. I just had this thought, Carolyn, as you were sharing, that, you know, this may be one of the benefits and blessings of these tumultuous times, is that people are forced to reckon with the gospel. I think we've made it so easy in easy times past. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a costly thing to have access to salvation. And as I'm listening to you, I mean, I'm keeping up at times on Muslims who are coming to faith, and they are always seriously considering, do I want to do this? Because the implications are I'll lose my family, I might lose my life, I might come up out of the water of baptism and be beheaded. Those
Correct.
Are reality, you know,
yes.
for them. So
yes.
they're like, okay, you've made a good case. I want peace. Am I ready to surrender my life and all that that means? Well, I think Christianity is becoming so unpopular that people are, you know, contemplating it. They're actually really counting the cost and
yes.
going, I'm going to take this seriously. I mean, I think that's actually kind of good news, don't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it takes the pressure off of me. My job is to be a living epistle, do you know what I mean, with my mm-hmm. lifestyle and with my words, and to share with people the good news of Jesus Christ. And in these chapters yeah. in Acts, it's so clear, this is the message, this is the salvation of Jesus. But I it takes the pressure off of me whether the King Agrippas and the Felixes and the Festuses respond.
Right.
That's up to them.
Yeah.
Whether quickly or not, people are on a journey, but I'm still going to be faithful. I'm not going to be discouraged.
Yeah. And I just love that people are contemplating and really taking it seriously. My one of my prayer warrior friends says, God is responsible for the outcome of my obedience. I'm like, I'll take that. I like it. How about you, Pastor?
Well, I mean, it's true. Obedience versus outcome. Mm-hmm. We're not called to, like, we're called to pray for the sick. We're not called to heal them, per se. That's up to God.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to pray for them. But, hey, they're not going to get healed unless we pray for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with evangelism. Our job is to share the gospel. Whether they responded or not is up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of takes the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
And this scripture that I have is kind of similar to that. I was just meditating on Psalm 81, verse 13 says, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would simply follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. I read this right after there was somebody who just publicly accused me of something that was false. And it really irked me because nobody likes to be publicly misunderstood nor publicly accused. And of course, you know, the fighter in me rose up and I was like, you know, just wandering around the house, muttering to myself, you know, and Carolyn's like, what's going on? Nothing. I'm just, you know, happily loving Jesus, just in a frustrated way. And then of course I came upon that scripture, if only my people would listen to me. And immediately I'm like, oh, you know, I've got an enemy. I think all of us have foes. Maybe for some of us, that's something going on in our bodies or a problem in our workplace or the problem with the world, right? And I just thought, I just need to stop and listen to God. And it was weird. The moment I just quieted my soul, it was almost like I had started downloading my email for the first time. It was like suddenly I had cell phone service and I got a million insights from God. Peter, if you would just do this with that person, you could disarm that individual. Or just respond like this. Respond in the opposite spirit there, and boom, it'll resolve itself. And listen, a lot of those issues have resolved themselves in the last couple of days as I've meditated on this. The Lord was just up in heaven saying, let me carry this one. Let me take care of that one. Just you stop, experience my peace, and listen to my instructions. And it was that simple.
Charles Martin is a brilliant and gifted novelist. Let's hear what the Lord's been saying to him from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30.
I'm a great admirer of people who do the read through the Bible in a year thing. You know, and one of my best pals on planet Earth has read through the Bible I think he's on his 45th or 46th trip now through Scripture. He just reads it and then goes back to page one. And my problem is I get stuck. You know, I'll read something and it's like the Lord highlights a phrase.
Same
and I
with
can
me.
Spend days in a chapter or weeks in a chapter. Last year I spent months in Ephesians, maybe longer than that. And I just can't wrap my head around. So lately I've been in 1 Corinthians for a lot of reasons. And I think there are a lot of parallels to the world in which we find ourselves. But for some reason, the other day, I'm reading back through Corinthians, and I don't know, I've read it a bunch of times lately, but it's just like for some reason at the end of chapter one, somewhere around the 30th verse, I think, Paul says this really simple statement. He says, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. And I just stopped, and it was just one of those moments where, because after that he says, you know, let no flesh boast in the Lord. So what he's saying is you bring nothing to the equation. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't earn it. He says this later to the church in Ephesus. He says, because of the great love with which he loved us when we were dead and our trespasses and sins, he made us alive. And I don't know, it just did a thing in my heart where I was reminded once again of the Lord's great love of us and me. Mm-hmm. And despite my stuff, Isaiah will say, you know, all of my righteousness are a little more than filthy rags. And, you know, if you understand what he means when he says filthy rags, they're really filthy. And I don't know, it was just a place that the Lord brought me back to where I know me and I'm grateful for what he did has done, continues to do, is doing. It's just a humbling thing that the Lord did, not that he condemned me or made me ashamed, nothing like that. It was just a sweet thing that the Lord did where I saw afresh once again. It's like go back to Genesis 2, somewhere around the 7th verse. It says God formed man from the dust of the earth. Then he pressed his lips to ours, breathed into our nostrils, and we became living, breathing souls. And that's the same thing he does with our salvation. And I, like, what can the dust do? Nothing. The dust can't do squat. And I don't know. It's just a thing where I'm sitting here in my chair and I'm, it just brought me back to maybe the same place where Job was when he says at the end of his trials, he says, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.
Yeah.
And then he says, I repent in dust and ashes, for I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. It's a sweet moment where the Lord just reminded me who he is and who I am.
Next up is another gifted novelist. Jerry Jenkins shares from Romans 12.
Well, I've been reading in Romans lately, and I think what impressed me most, I love Romans 12, 14 through 16, which I'll read here, but I want to go back then to the beginning of that. But it says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Now, there's a lot of truth to that whole section there, but that idea of bless those who persecute you, don't curse them, pray that God will bless them, that really hit me a little more than a year ago, I think, and it's been working on me. I have a kind of a long prayer list that I pray through every day, you know, family and friends and people I know that are sick and people that have lost loved ones and that type of thing. But it struck me that I'm not sure that I ever made it much of a practice to pray for those who persecute you. Anybody who's been in ministry for many years has had people tell false stories about them or criticize them on, you know, in the wrong way and for things that they shouldn't be criticized for. And you know, we get hurt.
Yeah.
But do we pray for those who've done that? And so I made a little list of people that, you know, and I'm not sure what I'm praying for them for. Am I praying that they see the light, that they see my side of it, or pray that, are these imprecatory prayers where I'm calling down the thunder from the sky? All I know is that the God promises us the Holy Spirit will pray for us with groans and yearnings that we don't understand. And so I might pray for a political leader that I disagree with. I might pray for somebody who's done me wrong in the past, and I'm praying for God's will in their life, whatever that is. And I've just found that that's been a real refreshing thing for me. And at first it was just an obedience thing, but I think it's a great discipline too.
When we come back from break, we're going to hear from Nicole Eunice, Gary Chapman, Elisa Childers, and more. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I pray for your healing. The circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I want to encourage you to consider becoming a global missionary if you're not one already. When you sponsor a child with the ministry of One Child, you're linked with a boy or girl who will know you by name and treasure the thought that you care about them. Most of them will pray for you daily. If you write them, they'll write you back. The child you sponsor will receive educational assistance, supplemental food, clothing, health care, services, and opportunities for personal love and encouragement. But most of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cost is just $39 a month, a little more than a dollar a day. You can't necessarily change the entire world on your own, but what if you could change the world for one? Sponsor a child now at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. We've been hearing from some amazing past guests from the show as they've talked about what God's been doing in their lives and how he's revealing himself through Scripture. First, we're going to hear from counselor and author Nicole Eunice about trusting in the Lord our God.
You know, we spoke last month, and, you know, I'm a fellow traveler like you are, Suzy, and I feel like I'm in a winter season, and I really have to return to kind of home base basics at that time whenever I feel like I'm in a season like that. So for me, that looks like reading the Psalms and just reading a Psalm each day and reflecting and meditating on what that Psalm has to say. And the one that has really, there's just this line that's come up in my life before, but I read it again this week from Psalm 20, verse 7. And it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And it's just this invitation. It's a prompt that's an invitation, because obviously in the context of when it was written, the strongest, mightiest assets that you could have would be horses and chariots. And that would be a sign of your power. That would be a sign of your worth and identity and success. And I think about where we are now, and what do I personally need to insert into that psalm as a prayer to remind myself, you know, some trust in success, some trust in likes, but I trust in the name of the Lord my God. So, you know, some trust in ongoing, you know, sort of this idea of positivity, just toxic positivity all the time, but I trust in the name of the Lord our God. So that's an invitation I think that I've been taking, and I just want to invite everyone else to think through, yeah, what is it that people put their trust in around me, and what am I tempted to put my trust in that's not the name of the Lord, and what might God be teaching me in this season where some of those things perhaps have been stripped away or feel far away? How do I reorient my heart to be trusting in the name of the Lord my God, because I can do that in every single season.
Wow, that's good. I got to ask, toxic positivity. I've never heard that phrase before. What does that look like?
Well, you know,
kind of like
whole,
the kind of sugar that gives you cavities, kind of positivity that has no substance or depth to it.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of toxic positivity, I think about this idea that we're going to deny any pain and we're not going to accept grief or loss in our life. And we're going to do almost in a sort of a prosperity gospel type way. I'm going to name and claim this happiness in my life. And it's just, it's antithetical to the scriptures, because the scripture has lament in it as part of our experience. The Psalms are full of times where people, you know, the psalmist says, "I feel far away from God. I don't know where God is in this," or "I feel discouraged." Toxic positivity doesn't allow for a winter season. It just assumes we can press through from glory to glory, although that is a true thing, glory to glory. But the idea that there's no valleys, there's only mountaintops, I think is something that's sometimes sold in our culture, and it's not realistic. So then those folks who are texting in and talking about feeling stuck, not only do they feel stuck, but they also feel ashamed about feeling stuck. Or if they feel stuck and then they feel like somehow they're denying their faith if they're not joyful or happy at every moment. But the scripture gives us an opportunity to have a range of human experience. It says that our Jesus was a man of many sorrows, acquainted with much grief. So there is a place in our life for seasons that may feel not as positive in our life. There is a place for suffering, and we're all in sort of a collective suffering, although to different levels, but we all are in a collective loss right now, a loss of control, a loss of plans, a loss of relationships. We're all doing that together. And if we think that we can just like smile our way through it and not ask, what could God be teaching me right now? How could God actually be using this season on purpose? How could he use this pain to bring about something different and good that is unexpected, or that I didn't realize I was missing? That to me is real positivity instead of a toxic version of it.
Staying with the counseling theme, let's listen to what Dr. Gary Chapman is learning from Ecclesiastes.
Well, you know, what happened just yesterday, my daughter and my granddaughter, who is a college, just finished college, were up visiting us Sunday afternoon and Monday, and we celebrated her birthday. So I was having my quiet time that morning, and I just worked through the Bible chapter a day in my quiet time. And I came to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Okay. And the first verse I read, and I thought, oh, Davy Grace needs to hear this. You know, she's our granddaughter. And then I read the last two verses. And I said, oh, man, I need to hear this. So here they are. This is the first verse. I went back upstairs and they were still sitting around the table drinking coffee. And I said, okay, Davy Grace, I want to read this verse for you. This is for you because you're young. It says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you shall say, I find no pleasure in them. I said, so, you know, you're young, I'm old. I said, I'm still finding pleasure in life, however. Mm-hmm. But remember the creator, you know, this is the main thing, our relationship with him. And then I said to Carolyn, my wife, and to our daughter, Shelley, I said, okay, now here's our verse. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So let's just commit ourselves again to the commandments of God, because they're all there out of his love. If he said, don't do it, it's because he wants to help you. If he says, do it, it's because he knows it'll be good for you. So let's just affirm, you know, yes, we want to follow the commandments of God. So that's the latest. I moved this morning to the Song of Solomon, but I won't share that today.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes is good. It's good. That's great.
Minneapolis news anchor and my dear friend Julie Nelson talked about her daily experience with God as a news anchor. She was also joined by Destiny Maxwell from Treehouse, who's talking about the importance of loving others.
Oof, it's been complicated lately, Susie.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, it's really just calming my heart. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the hardest thing right now when it seems like we're all dealing in outrage and we're dealing in black and white, this is right, this is wrong. And if you don't believe what I believe politically, then not only is it wrong, but it's really a comment on your character. Mm-hmm. And so being in the news every single day, it's important for me in the mornings to take that time and center myself again and remember he's in control. Yeah. None of this is a surprise to him.
That's right.
And to just remember, like, you don't have to go into the day anxious and fearful and worked up about everything, because he's got it.
You're
he already
right.
knows.
So good. Right. You know, I think one of the reasons hopelessness is prevailing, not only among teens, but around everybody, you know, is because we stop listening to each other, stop seeking to know each other. You know, I've said this off and on for the last couple of years. Now, when we ask a question, it isn't to know you better. It's to either validate or vilify you. I need to know where you stand so I can put you in one of two camps. Either, oh, you agree with me. Well, then you're validated, or you don't. You're vilified. And we can't live without a healthy tension of ideas. And so, boy, my prayer is that we could humble ourselves and listen like Treehouse does. I think that's why they're seeing healing among teens, is they're listening to their story without interjecting constantly, telling them what they ought to be.
Yeah,
know?
And I love that. You know, they're saying, we're not here to give you advice. We're here just to support you and mm-hmm. make you feel heard. And I joke all the time, I've joked in board meetings, we need a Treehouse for adults.
Yes,
right?
Exactly right.
I want a place I can go to support group, and it starts out with everybody saying, how you feeling? Mm-hmm. Give me a scale of 1 to 10. Pick the emotions on this card that you're feeling and mm-hmm. tell me why. And what's and I know we'll get into this later, but what I love about what Treehouse does is these support staff, like Destiny, they really listen and they say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna pray for you about that. And they mean it mm-hmm. and they follow up and they're listening.
Mm.
It's the skill we've really lost as a society.
Wow. Well, thank you for all you do on the front lines. Friends, remember to pray for Julie. She has, you know, almost an impossible job, because you're probably always making somebody mad. You know, good thing you have a great smile.
It seems to be my specialty the last couple of years.
The gift of provoking. Yes. Not really, though. Destiny, so good to meet you.
Nice
I'm
to
so
meet you too.
Glad to have you in studio. First of all, tell me, what's God been talking to you about these days?
Something that God has been talking to me about lately is loving others, and the story of the Good Samaritan has been speaking to my heart. The fact that the Samaritan, who was basically the Jews' enemy, loved him so much has inspired me to not only love those who are easy to love, but those who I see as hard to love sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
just thinking about God's love towards me makes it so much easier to want to love.
Okay, one more before we go to break. Author Elisa Childers talks about what she's learning from Psalm 119.
I love this question. I've been doing a really long, deep study of the book of Hosea, but this morning I was driving to the airport really early, and I just put the Bible on the audio as I drove, and it was Psalm 119, which is always been one of my favorite Psalms. And I was just sort of meditating on what it was saying and just how much the psalmist loves the word of God. And I think in our culture, it just got me thinking how possibly influenced we all are by our culture, which seeks to denigrate God's word, to make it into just another book that was written by people trying to figure God out in their times and places. But here we have these time-tested truths, and the psalmist saying things like, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. And just talking about how good the law of God is and how worthy of honor and respect and awe his word is, because this is who he is revealed to us. So I was just sort of pondering that this morning, just the beauty of God's word and the stability it gives us as Christians, as culture just kind of swirls around us in this chaos. We can plant our feet in something that does not change, that is the actual revelation from God himself. You know, just, I mean, this keeps us from feeling like we have to check Twitter every 5 minutes to find out what we're supposed to think right now, because it might be different than what we were supposed to think 5 minutes ago. So everybody better hurry up and delete the tweets from 5 minutes ago, because that's not what's popular. But you know, if we just stand on the word of God, we will always be on the right side of the argument. And so I was just pondering those things as I was driving to the airport this morning.
Beautiful. Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Tessa Afshar, Abdu Murray, and Dr. Troy Sproul. We'll be back in just a moment. Please prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible gift to Faith Radio before the year ends. You can give now by texting the word GIVE to 877-933-2484 or join the support team at myfaithradio.com. Thank you, and God bless you. This is Suzy Larson Live. Thanks for joining me today for a special recap show featuring past guests sharing what the Lord's been teaching them lately. First, we'll hear from my friend, award-winning author, Tessa Afshar.
Lately, Suzy, I've been digging into the book of Acts, and there's this teeny tiny little verse that's really been ministering to my heart. But before I can tell you the verse, let me just give you a little bit of the context, because it's a verse that's about Paul. And right before this, Paul has spent about 2 years in jail in Caesarea, and then he's been on a boat, and the boat is going to take him to Rome so that he can stand before the emperor and make a case. But unfortunately, the boat hits rough weather, and we're talking this terrifying storm that lasts not 1 day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but 2 full weeks. So finally, really by virtue of God's miracle, they are saved and they land on the coast of Malta. Now, I can just imagine, like, by the time Paul washes up on the shore, he is bone weary. He's just basically running on adrenaline. And they have to build a fire because it's now started to rain, so they are really cold. But just as Paul is putting the wood onto this fire, the warmth draws out a viper, which latches on to his hand. And we know it's a poisonous viper because the native islanders conclude he's going to die. He's going to drop dead right now. So if there's any point for Paul to feel discouraged and overwhelmed, I kind of think like this is it, because it's he's been coming from hard to hard. You know, he's been coming from a difficulty to more anxiety. But here's the next verse. And this is the one that's been really illuminating my heart for some days. It says, Paul, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. He just shook off the creature. Now, this, the parallel of this story to our stories, I think it just bears such a powerful message for the heart. Because we're like Paul. We're coming from heart to heart. We are coming from difficulty to anxiety. And now you and I, Susie, and your listeners, we may just now be in a position where we still have to deal with our own, never mind the pandemic, never mind the world. We may now have to deal with our own personal vipers, like the dark things that may be sinking their fangs into us, like that assignment that the enemy has sent against us. We still have those things coming against us. And we have to navigate this increasingly hard world without breaking. And this verse reminds me that there is a possibility that all you have to do is shake off that thing into the fire and suffer no harm. Shake it off. Now, I think that Paul obviously was so close to Jesus. He was so attached to him that in spite of his long, anxious 2 years, in spite of the storm, that he still has the strength at that moment. And what really helps me is, you know, it's not like he saw this viper just kind of coming out and he was eyeball to eyeball with it and he was like, whoa, I don't want to get near that. It's that the thing really did sink its fangs into his flesh. So there are situations where you feel like something's got its teeth into you. And I think, you know, you get to a point in your life with Jesus where you can say, well, I can still get through this without ultimately breaking. But this passage has been reminding me that I can grow to a point where even when the thing gets its teeth into me, I can just shake it off.
Man.
And suffer no harm.
Somebody's got to text in amen. That was brilliant. It was good to have Abdu Murray back on the show. He says he's learned so much in the past couple of years. Let's see what he had to say about Philippians 2.
You know, boy, where do I start? He's impressed so much upon me in the past couple of years, but recently especially. I've been focusing on what he tells us in Philippians chapter 2, and there's this ancient creed, you know, about the kenosis, or the way Jesus has emptied himself. The God the Son emptied himself and became one of us and took on the form of a servant. And where the Apostle Paul tells us, do nothing, before he's saying all that, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And what I think about when I think about this verse is what Paul doesn't say. What he doesn't say is to count others as more valuable than yourself. In other words, think of yourself as a less than kind of a being, because our value is derived from God's image on each one of us. So I bear God's image, the infinitely valuable image of God, just as much as you or anybody else does. And so it'd almost be blasphemy to think of myself as less valued in God's eyes than any other person. But what Paul is saying is that we ought to think of others as more significant than ourselves. In other words, I ought to think of you or the person in the drive-thru who I go past when I'm ordering my food, or the big-name speaker who's got a platform. Each one of these people, regardless of where God has them, is more significant than me. And I often ought to think of their significance in ministry and therefore promote what it is they're doing, if it serves God's kingdom and glorifies the Lord, as more significant than anything I'm doing. And I think if we start, what I've been impressed upon is to think, how do I think of people like that? How do I actually promote what they're doing? Not just, you know, in terms of what God is doing through me and to me, but through them and to them, and think of them as at least as, if not more significant than myself.
That is just so powerful. You think the opposite of, you know, when you think of the motivations for the Tower of Babel, the two motivations were to make a name for ourselves and to protect our interests. And when those motivations are alive, you know, and they are today still, it's really we're building our kingdom and not the Lord's. And when I think about people like you're talking about, when you meet an old sage who still is humble and has this winsome twinkle in their eye, and they treat you like you're the best thing since sliced cheese, even though you know they've done so much for the kingdom, there's an equity of honor in them that they're not even asking for, but it's there because they're honoring others. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, equity of honor. What a beautiful way to put it. Equity of honor. My goodness. I got to steal that.
Let's do it.
I love it. I remember one of the encounters I had early on. I had met an apologist I look up to named Gary Habermas, Dr. Gary Habermas, who's a leading expert on the resurrection of Jesus. I met him several times before, and he was introducing me to somebody at a big highfalutin conference where all these really big names were. And Gary was introducing me to a guy, and the guy spent a lot of time, engaging with me, but he was looking around past my shoulder to see who more important was in the room. And Gary literally said to him, "Hey, this guy's in front of you. He's the most important person in the room right now."
Wow.
And he's that kind of a guy. He can call you out. But I'll never forget that. And I remember thinking to myself, please act like that. Make sure, Lord, please help me to act like that and give people the equity of honor, regardless of what books they've written or not written or what station in life they have, because you gave them that equity of honor. My goodness, what a great phrase. Thank you so much. If me hearing that phrase was worth being on the show, my goodness, thank you.
Every month we have the privilege of having Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk about health and the healing process. And he has such a depth of knowledge around health and healing, but he also has a very deep and rich soul. You know, he's a man after God's heart. He cares about your healing. He cares about his patient's healing. He cares about my healing. Let's listen to what he has to say about surrender and discernment.
Well, for me, what he's impressing is more discernment and surrender. And so I'm going to just... I'm going to start with Romans 12:2, and this is one of my favorites. Like, I tend to go back to this time and time again, but right now it's what's there, and it's a conversation I'm having a lot with my patients and my family and myself even right now. But it is, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect."
Talk about that.
Well, for me, there is a scenario that, and you and I were kind of talking about this before, but when we all have gifts and we all have things that we're really good at. And one of those things that can sometimes, when they get out of control or they're not in balance or we're supposed to be surrendering it to God, they can start to actually work against us. So, for example, we were talking about how people who have just a lot of empathy and they're loving and they're nurturing, and when you are taking care of a young child, it's easy to control the environment and you're just loving and nurturing on them. And as they grow, though, especially mom has to learn to surrender a little bit. Otherwise, it can become controlling. You're trying to control the environment. Well, the same thing is true as we go through tough and challenging seasons. When we don't feel comfortable, when we feel the rockiness and the chaos, or even just the busyness of a good season like Christmas, we want to try and control it. And the reality is, because we care, because we're full of love and we're nurturing, and we want to say yes instead of saying no, or we want to have more of that and be there for people. But the reality is, when that gets excessive or it's too much, then we can feel out of control. So the only way to have peace is to surrender and give to God what is God's, and control. We can control what he is asking us and telling us to. So what is the will of God is very, very important. And too many times during a busy, busy season, we take on too much and we don't surrender. So for me, this is, as you mentioned earlier, this is a very, very busy, challenging season for us right now, and I am constantly having this conversation with people and myself. So discernment and surrender, discerning what is the will of God, and we have a different way of saying it in the clinic. We talk about what are our big rocks, and what are the things we should take care of first, and what are the things that we delegate to our people. But the master delegator is what am I going to delegate to God? What am I trying to control that God is saying, I've got this?
I love that.
Just let it go.
You know, I love the discernment coupled with surrender, you know, yes. Because there's a part that we play and a part that God plays. That's beautiful.
That's it for this special edition of Suzy Larson Live. What's the Lord been doing in your life? Well, as we close out the year, take time to reflect about what he's done in your life. Maybe jot down some hopes and dreams for next year. I would love it if you'd share with us what God's been teaching you. My hope is that you found some encouragement here today. Be blessed, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to this Suzy Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live.